You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJP.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show. I had to get that volume down there. It was a little loud today up in my headphones. And it's funny. I like doing these Saturday shows. Saturday is fun. And with it being live, it's got a little bit of kind of extra drama to it. I'm used to doing, like, you know, produce stuff and stuff I can kind of hang out with and go back and edit and make my own corrections and changes too. And I'm just not always together with the live stuff. With you, you make mistakes and stuff. It's all out there. You know, there's no going back. There's no press start and pause and. You can hear the creaking chair and everything, and it just bugs the heck out of me. But I like live because live is like real life, right? And I'm kind of growing more comfortable with my own space and my own time and the things that are, you know, more things life, more things me, because I've always been that guy that's just casual, kick back, relaxed, and never really wanted to talk about me. Never wanted to ever be in the spotlight. I always want to be the guy in the back, right? I've been that guy all my life, helping other people get what they want, helping other people get in it and pursue their dreams like I didn't have a dream, right? Because we were never, I mean, there was times in our house that we were told, oh, yeah, we're smart, we're intelligent, we're whatever, we can do whatever we want. But when it came to the actual come down, the actual application, the actual pursuit of that dream, oh, no, it was full of all kind of chains and holdbacks and propaganda, and you have to do it according to my rules and my stipulations and to my goals and my aspirations. And my parents, they were already long since gone past aspirational dream mentality and age. So there was really, because I was the last one to come through. So there was, I know there weren't a lot of dreaming coming through of radical dreams. I'm sure they had big visions for us within the size of their box. And I'm sure they had bigger goals for themselves at some point. At least I want to hope they had bigger dreams for some point of their lives. But they did exactly what I believe that they thought they should have done. And no shade of my parents. I'm not that kid that's going to go back out and say, oh, I shame my parents and they should have whatever. I'm going to divorce my parents. But as I go back through and take an assessment of where I am in life based on my upbringing, there weren't a lot of risks taken. You know, there was definitely some sacrifice, a whole lot of sacrifices made, a whole lot of love shown by the actions and by the doings and the protection and the caring, but there were definitely not risk-taking. And I'm sure in the African-American community, we weren't necessarily all taught to be risk-takers, right? There was no, you know, you didn't see many of us back in the 60s and the 50s, you know, doing the daredevil stuff and jumping off of bridges and taking helicopter rides and stuff like that. We weren't taught to do that. We were taught to be safe, be quiet, be seen and not heard, do the things that you know you were supposed to do, and that's about the size of it. You weren't trying to be out there being everything to everybody because, you know, the question becomes, you want to be able to see your 16th birthday or your 21st birthday, you don't want to, and when you get stopped by the police, you want to make sure you have your hands on the wheel at 10 and 2 to make sure that you can get through that conversation so it doesn't turn into an altercation that wants to be in a place on the altar where they're going to be planning your last resting vacation. So we want to make sure that we can get through all that stuff. So that's what we were taught as a kid, to be mild-mannered, to be soft-spoken, to be intelligent, to be articulate. I had to learn in middle school that I had to learn to speak multiple languages. It wasn't, I don't want to talk about, you know, Spanish, German, you know, French and Portuguese, stuff like that. No, we were taught to be bilingual in our own community. We were taught to speak English, and those of you who say speak Ebonics, and they were like, I know that's not a language taught in class, but it was a language taught in our culture, in our streets, in our houses, and in our churches, because I was at a magnet school program, and this kid came up to me, and he says something I'll never forget. Here, I'm 49, so you think this is about, I don't know, about 35, 38 years ago, and it's still like it was yesterday. That kid walked up to me and says, is you white? And I was like, excuse me? What did you say? Is you white? And I was like, okay, wait. Am I white? Is that what you're asking me? I said, why would you ask me that? And he says, because you talk white. And I honestly, at that point, that was the first time I'd ever had any type of interaction or any type of slap or face, so that I wasn't black enough. I wasn't black enough for the black folk. I wasn't white enough for the white folk. We weren't whatever enough for anybody. So we were in a spot where I had to make a choice. So So being the kid that was hurt by my own, I had asked my mom, I said, what is he talking about, Mom? I mean, I'm not white. I don't look white. I mean, there's no part of me that has, if you look at the palms of my hands, okay, the bottom of my feet, okay, there you go. There it is. But everything else, no. And she told me, it's because we live, in the suburbs. We live in a white community. You go to a pretty much all-white school. We only really are around our own when we go to church. So you don't really have a large perspective on the black experience. And I was like, man, so I was hurt, so I had to try to figure out where we were going. So I spent a lot of time trying to figure out then how do I make it so we can be, like the Bible says, being all things to all people, right? How do we do that? How are we able to best show God, best show who we are as people? Because, I don't speak politics on this show, any of my shows. I don't speak, cross-cultural race relations on any of my shows, because I try to live my life according to what the Word of God says. And I know the Bible is full of all the divisions and the cultures and those who are from the lines of such and such, from the tribe of whatever. But at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the day, we're all the same. We're one, and when I say this, again, let me get the phone number right now to those who want to call in, because this was going to probably potentially spark some stuff. You're like, what in the heck is this dude talking about? So if you want to call in and join the discussion, we're at, where are we? Guest call it, sorry. 1-646-668-8485. That's 646-668-8485. Call in. Join the discussion. I'll bring you right in. I don't even have to know who you are when you call. I'll just bring you straight in and say, hey, call out what you're doing. Because we're talking about, history in the making, owning our place in history. And this is a historical weekend for me. And I got a guest in the studio. She's actually going to probably be doing most of the interviewing, and we're going to bounce this thing back and forth. It's Joanne Hoy. Joanne, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Craig. How are you?
Uh-oh, I don't hear nothing. Why don't I hear nothing from you?
I don't know.
Hey, Craig.
There you are.
I hear you. I'm right here.
I know. I was like, what happened?
What happened?
I don't even know what that was all about.
Okay, it's all good.
All right, well, you're here now.
All right, that's all that matters.
So we're talking about owning our place in history, and I had to make sure, so I'm going to go back to finish my statement here, but I had to make sure that today I had to own my place in history. I had interviewed so many other people talking about their places in history and what they thought about being a history maker. So today we're going to talk, we're going to go back and forth about my spot. So I said, so as a kid, we are one race of people. And some people are like, oh, no, what are you talking about? It's not one. There is. And a race is actually defined by whether or not you can procreate. And we have proven, as a human race, that we can procreate with any color, shade, faction, or person, right?
That's pretty historical right there.
That's what I'm thinking.
Cross world.
Cross-world.
Call the diaspora, I think that's pretty much, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, all kind of dogs can procreate, right? You can Great Dane cross with a poodle. That'd be a pretty ugly combination, but it's there, right? It's capable. Cats, even mooses and mices, you can do that, right?
Okay, the mooses and mice, no, but okay.
With giraffes.
Okay.
No crossover. I'm just saying, but the mooses with the mooses and the mices with the mices. They're all the
okay,
same.
Right.
So,
okay.
We're divided by our cultural differences, where we are, where we were born. If you get into the hues and shades, okay, fine. Those who are quite more melanin challenged or less melanin challenged or enriched, depending on what we're talking about. So it's really what it is, right?
That's right.
So historically speaking, it's just a matter of who we are. We're all supposed to be teaching love according to what God's plan is. And it's all fun. We talk about God's plan. It's all great to talk about that wonderful song, Drake's got God's plan, God's plan, God's plan. But it's only God's plan when people are happy, when it meets our favorite tune, when it meets our favorite, we get a chance to get the things out of life that we really want. Then it's God's plan. But when it comes to life sucking, when it comes to life hurting, when it comes to people hurting our feelings and we're not able to get the fanciest whatever, the fancy that we want to be fancy with, God's plan sucks and there must be something wrong, right? Either God didn't hear me, or God ain't around, or God didn't love me, oh, I got to do something else to pay the bill, or maybe I didn't give my tithe, or maybe I didn't talk to the right person, right?
Right.
But when we get right down to it, we have, at some point, we've got to become okay with God's plan in its entirety, right?
That's correct.
Because we can't just be pick and choose. Because I think the funny thing is, and from a historical standpoint, being a Christian in history, we cannot think of God as a lunch counter person. He's not the soup Nazi. We don't walk up to it in this deli window and go, okay, God, I'm going to take a triple portion of profit, of prosperity. I'm going to take a double portion of love from the finest woman I can find. And I'm going to take a single portion of obesity because I ain't going to be a fat dog. So you can hold the obesity. Tell you what, we're going to put obesity on the side. I'll take a triple portion of a good, long, healthy life. But you can hold the sadness and you can hold the pain.
It doesn't work like that.
You walk up to that lunch counter like we used to do in elementary school.
They give you what you got.
They're going to slap that tray of slop right on your tray.
And keep it pushing.
And keep it pushing. For some, it's mystery meat. And some days, that mystery meat was really good.
Because you recognize it as chicken. There you go. Yard bird all the way.
Exactly. I mean, there's some days when you got the really cool pizza brand and, you know, you got the, you know, special dessert that you liked or the carton of milk for someone liked it. Some got the chocolate, some got the white, some got orange juice, some got water. And there's always something on the tray that you liked. But it's like our life. There's always something in our life that we really, really like. And there's a lot of stuff on our life plate that we really think is really... I'm not going to say what I really want to say.
Okay.
Because I really want to say something else.
Don't do it.
But it's really crappy.
Oh, don't do it.
You know, I really want to say it. But I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it.
No, I'm going to say it.
No.
But you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So some things are... left best to others' imagination.
But it does start with an S in the Mississippi.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
there,
okay,
there it is.
There
again,
you go.
If you want to join the discussion today as we're talking through, you can join us at 646-668-8485. I'm going to go to a quick break, then we're going to come back, and we're going to go through some questions. We're going to talk about my life, and I'm going to own my place in history because there's a piece of my own history that I didn't really even think about, you know, and I didn't even spend any time really evaluating and didn't really spend any time really getting to know. And it's kind of wild because, and again, I'm going to send some thank yous out today to a couple of people, and I really wanted to make sure that I'm transparent today. You know, I asked everybody to be real and transparent. We're going to be real. So, Joe, when we come back from this break, you'll be able to ask any questions you like.
Okay.
And we'll be right back, and we're going to keep it moving. And we'll be right back to the Craig Carlisle Show.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
All right, we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show, and Joe, it's just you and I here talking.
Sounds good. That's always good.
So we're going to talk about owning our place in history.
Okay.
So it's my place.
All right. So what's your place, Craig?
Well, you know what's funny is I've been struggling the last couple of days with I got a nomination. I'm going to bring it up. That's why I'm kind of staring over at the computer. I got a nomination for something I never would have imagined in my entire life. Where is this? I actually have been nominated for Father of the Year.
Oh, wow.
By the Fathers and Families Coalition of America. And I'm going to be recognized at their gala on the 7th of March.
That's pretty cool.
And it's pretty bananas.
Yeah.
Absolutely bananas to me.
How does that make you feel?
Inadequate in a lot of ways.
Why is that?
Very small, because they sent the list over of the people who were also being nominated. Matt Barnes, he's an NBA world champion. He's played for the Lakers, Golden State Warriors. He's played for the Knicks, the Kings. I mean, I do believe is Nick Ashford from Ashford and Simpson. He is also on here. I do believe the gentleman that sings the Ghostbusters song, Ray Parker Jr., he's on here being nominated. There's so many more people. I think there's even got a congresswoman. I don't know why. I think it's because of the family's portion. But I don't understand how, yeah, it's Senator Holly Mitchell, Paris Escovedo, Ray Parker Jr., Marilyn McCool and Billy Davis Jr., Phyllis and Kevin Tony. Who else is on there? Myself. And I'm like, to be mentioned in a group of people who have household name cred, I don't see myself as anywhere close to have done anything.
But I think you bring up a good point, because you're looking through your lens, and people are looking that are not using your spectacles.
Sure.
They see you in a different lens.
Sure.
And so I understand that it's difficult, but their heart beats the same as yours, and interesting how the same kind of blood you have. And so their passion for whatever they've done is mirroring what someone believes that you're doing. So just because they're fame and fortune, if that's how you're looking at it, you just need to take your spectacles off and let someone else see you, or you experience how they see you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and that's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Because I don't see, like I said, my lenses are dirty, and they're tainted, and they're tarnished with the dirt and the pain that I've gone through in my life, right? Because
right.
I just see myself as a parent. You know, mm-hmm. I was married for a little over 11 years, and okay, yeah, my wife died. Okay, I get it. And okay, and that sucks, right? Yeah, I raised 5 kids by myself for the last 6 years. Yeah, that sucks. But I don't think of that as being anything to have to get an award for. You know what I'm saying? And again, I have to, so we'll stop. I have to send out a shout out and thank you to Coach Sherilyn Payton. She's a life coach out of Memphis, Tennessee. And just because she's based in Memphis doesn't mean she's only in Memphis. This is a global person. She is all over the place. And she's been a part of the Families and Fathers Coalition of America for a number of years. And we're not going to throw any diminished shade on what she's done to her accomplishment or this group just because of my small view of myself. Because people ask me all the time, I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how you've done it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? What would be the alternatives? Let my kids go to foster care? Let my kids be raised by somebody in the family? There's people, and that neither one of those were going to work, because there's people in our own family right now that I know they wouldn't have taken care of them, and they know they wouldn't have taken care of them because they don't talk to them now. They don't come by and see them now. So if you're not seeing your blood now, you weren't going to take care of them if I left them. I mean, they would probably have already sent them all to foster care or God knows how where. They would have been, because they're not active in their life right now. So what difference would it have made? There were no other options than to care for all 5 of my sons. And I look at that and I think to myself, man, is that really something? That's not something I would have gone and said, hey, I want a cookie for that.
So how do you define History Maker?
Well, so that's the thing. So I had to, that's where we started the whole show. It's a great question, because I was really mad at the beginning. I think those of you who've been listening to either the Craig Carlisle Show or the Ray Zimmerman Show, and Parker, I apologize. So I'm apologizing also to Parker Jacole, who's this is her network, baby, that we're on here on Blog Talk Radio. We're on the Parker Jacole Entertainment network with the Craig Carlisle Show, and she asked me when I first started doing this Saturday show, she said, make sure when you, you know, do your this show that you don't cross-pollinate between your radio show and podcast with this particular podcast. And I had given her my word that I would not do that. But I felt so adamant during African American History Month at what was a history maker and what determined a history maker. And it frustrated me because all of mainstream media, all they really show us are the black and white photos of the popular ones, what they say or who they say Frederick Douglass is. I didn't know Fred. So I don't know if that picture of the dude with the salt and pepper gray afro parted down the left side and pulled back kind of rigidly in a two-piece, three-piece suit with a high-button vest, if that's really Fred. I don't know if Sojourner Truth was really Sojourner Truth, the lady with the hair parted down the middle of the two cornrows on the side of her temple going down with the black dress and the button all the way to the top and the mean mug look. I don't know if that's Miss Truth or not because I didn't know her. I don't know if too many of those black and white photos of a history maker were really who they said they were because I wasn't there. So I needed to be able to see some of the history makers in color because there's history makers. I guess we also need to stop there and say because there's history makers in color and there's also history makers of color, of all colors. So I needed to be able to see the history makers that I see in color in life right now that I know I could say I know them and my kids could say that they knew them. So that's why I've been so adamant on this. And yes, it's apropos that I'm last in this line of history makers because I had to finally admit to myself that, yeah, I'm making history, but not just because I'm a single father, widowed father of five boys. That has nothing to do with the history. It's a part of the story, yes, but that doesn't make me historical. Some people say it's hysterical because it's such a hard thing that you would think of to do. But we as everyday people have to realize that every moment of our life is history making. Just by the fact that God gave us breath to live and go do, so then every time we step and do something, whether it be with our kids, with someone else's kids, or ourselves alone, what we do matters. So that's, yeah, I had to then begin to reshape my thoughts and say, yeah, I am a history maker, but not only because I am a widower, because that's the tag, that's the government tag wants to give me, right? That's my new government name, right? Or I should say my new government term. I'm not married. I'm not single. I'm widowed. And if I don't mark that box under my who I am, then that's a fraudulent document. I've lied on my official documentation. So I needed to be realizing to myself or become aware that I was more than just the widow marker. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a father raising five amazing young men. And I needed them to understand that they're not history makers just because they survived the loss of their mother. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're more than just the sum total of our pain. You know what I'm saying? We're the sum total of our experiences. And if this experience of their life over the last 6 to 7 years, or including the year or less that she was living and going through her cancer issue, their life starts way sooner than that. So I needed them to see that they were more than that, than just this. Make sense? So that answers the question, yeah.
Right.
History maker.
Okay, so, and I think that as we are looking at Black History Month and pictures that you do see in the black and white and understanding who they are and their mark on history, not just African Americans or blacks as a whole, but their accomplishments that they did historically that impacted everyone. So you mentioned Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass didn't just impact just the African Americans or the blacks or the Negroes as they were referenced at that time. He impacted across the cultures in color, as you're talking about. So he brings that to the table that you're talking, that you're referencing. And the same with Sojourner Truth, interestingly enough, you mentioned her as well. It wasn't so much, she did a lot for us as a culture and a people. And so sometimes I think we get lost in our culture and we fuse it with our history. And sometimes they're two separate things.
Yeah.
And so a lot of time when people say history or his story or even her story,
mm-hmm.
they're mixing it with what their understanding of culture is. And depending on how much you do know about
sure.
your own history, your culture may be something that's totally separate, and it may be infused with your history, but if you don't know your history, sometimes you live the culture because that's the way you were brought up, or that's how Mama and them did the
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at yourself being a part of the history or being a history maker, I think that if you're trying to fuse what the culture is doing versus what the history is doing, then I can see where there's a conflict,
mm-hmm.
and I can see where some people are saying, well, why do you guys do it like that? And they're not understanding maybe the historical markers of the cultural things that we've done that makes it still a part of our history, but kind of totally separate. And so when you talk about you finally agreeing to be a part of becoming a history maker, there are things that I think are novel to who you are, and that you are a part of the big picture. And sometimes it takes someone, again, not using your lens,
yeah.
but using what they see. It's like, wow, here's this guy doing this, 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 and this. And you did have choices. And so the choices that you chose are history within itself. I mean, so you've heard the stories, or you see the drama line sometimes in movies that, you know, all black men will leave their children.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
That's not a true story. That's
yeah.
not your experience. Your culture, your being brought up with your parents, has not led you that way. So there's a difference in how you're viewing yourself. And so the decisions that you made were impacted from the history or the things that your parents shared with you in your family, even your family culture, that determines where you are right now.
Yeah.
So I can just speak upon me that you're a history maker to me, just in the creative things that we share, you know, from time to time. And I'm impacted by it, and I'm always excited about next steps. And so you're a history maker because you're the only person I know, I mean, within my short little friendship, that you're a producer of Restored Me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have a friend, and I get to brag about that. But it's not just any movie. It's a movie that talks about some of the unfortunate things that have happened to African-American men time and time and time. I mean, it's current information. So if you haven't seen Restored Me, produced by Craig Carlisle, you need to get out there and see it. It's on Hulu, and it's on Amazon.
Yes, yep,
and
on your digital markets, on your cable providers, too, and on demand.
Okay, so Craig, work with me. Okay, so you can say that about Restored Me, and you don't see yourself compared to the people you just listened? I don't get that. I'm lost with that, because you crossed over to an area to be in color, to use the color. You are a history maker. You may not see yourself because, you know, we're here in beautiful Temecula wine country, and it just feels like we're just kind of like everyday people, but you have made your mark on history. And it's not just for individual people like myself, but you've entered an industry where, you know, people dream about, that aspire, that they want to be part of. I remember hearing some of the conversations when you guys traveled the country talking about, please come and watch Restored Me. The artists themselves saying, I've never had this experience before. It's changed something in me. It had me look at how I am living, how I'm being viewed, and who I think I'm living for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a history marker, or whatever you want to call it, for others that are looking at you. So your impact on the world as far as Father of the Year, yeah, it's time for it. You've done a lot for just your kids and how you're raising them and involving them and teaching your culture, because you are passing down maybe not everything your parents taught you, but you are passing down things that are relevant and important. And they were there on set when you were doing Restored Me. I don't know how many rehearsals or movie takes that they missed. I don't think they missed too many at all. And to see you travel around the country doing something that they saw their father passionate about.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of history that we don't really pay attention to. So one of the questions that I'd like is, like, what do you want your children to know about you?
I want my kids to know that their dad loved them, just unconditionally. And I need them to know that just because something bad happened, and I tell this to them a lot, both that I love them, and I've even pulled them aside and said, how do you know that I love you? You know, tell me, give me examples that come to your mind that let you know that you know that you know that I love you. Because I don't want there to be any questions, whether it be growing up or getting later in life or right now. I need them to know. I want them to know that also bad things could happen and are going to happen to them. Sorry, that's just the way things are. In this life, we will have trouble. That's in the Word.
It is.
And I need them to understand, because I lived a life in my upbringing where I didn't see trouble until I got older in life. And life was just easy for me. And so I thought, oh, yeah, I didn't deserve to have any trouble. So I lived in my mind this whole thought that, oh, trouble doesn't have to come to me. I'm good. I'm exempt. But it hit my household. Damn, it devastated us, right? I need them to know that things like that can happen, but they cannot just dictate what happens to your life after that, that they're more than just what happened to them. They are what happens through them. And I don't want them to ever be confused by knowing that their dad wasn't a quitter. I may have had my days where I didn't want to do whatever, but I didn't ever stop. We may have taken a knee every now and again. You know, we're not trying to, you know, no nods to Colin Kaepernick. I'm just saying we may have taken a need of rest and stopping and regroup. And sometimes it takes a while to get your mind and get your head out of your colon for a minute to kind of figure out where you need to be. But you got to keep going. That's what I need them to know. That no matter what, we only have the phrase around the house, you know, Team Carlisle, we make it work. You know, I love watching Tim Gunn on Project Runway. That's what he always tells his designers. You know, make it work. No matter what you've got in front of you, make it work.
I think that's something historical as well, is that your experience to just make it work has passed on. I mean, I know, again, just my own personal experiences, sometimes when I'm working on a production and we'll just say, you say all the time, we'll just make it work. You know, I've come to depend on it, and they're actually a piece for me that I'm like, okay, so I don't really have to work about it because we're going to work it out, or it's going to work, or somehow it's going to come together. And each and every time, regardless how huge my imagination is, which is pretty big at times, you've created an opportunity where people are still talking about a lot of the productions that have been out there, but that's really because of your creativity fusing in and saying, okay, Joe, you can do it like this. That's historical. I mean, you have inspired people like myself and others to the point where they see you at that same level. So the lens that you're using, I think it's a humble lens, and I think you should keep it. But I do like the fact that now you get to see how others have seen you, including, you know, I'm grateful for the person that nominated you as well. And so I'm glad that you are now going to be seen at another level. And I know that could be possibly mind-blowing, but I'm like, yeah, now I'm afraid, you know, I got to put my dibs in now.
Oh, my God.
You get super duper busy. No. You know, you're not going to have time for Joe. And I'm like, well, I know I got my buddy, right? But at the same time, I don't see you any different than they are. I see the accomplishments that you've done in the industry, making a Christian video, impacting just not the people who are watching the video, but the actors themselves. Each and every one that I met made a positive. They had to look inside themselves and say, well, how am I living? What must I do to change what I'm doing? Or what person do I need? Or what is this habit I need to stop? And, you know, that's historical.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, you have some great strengths. And there are some things that we're still learning about ourselves. But do you know what your greatest strengths are?
I think mine is my faith.
Okay.
Is my greatest faith, because I don't believe I ever get to the point where I'm lost. I may
so
feel like a
faith.
It's the belief that God's plan is sovereign.
Okay.
It's perfect, and I haven't always been okay with the plan in its entirety, and I've been working to that point. I mean, because I remember there was, because for those, you know, for showing really where my faith is, tomorrow, the 24th of February, will mark 6 years that my wife's been gone. Do you remember that call that came at 5 a.m. or just before 5 a.m. on that day, 6 years ago, when they tell me, well, they've called it. She's gone. Sandy's passed away. She's dead. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, because when you get calls early in the morning, they're not usually very good calls.
No, they're never.
No. You don't get those calls to say, hey, I got a promotion, or we're going to Europe, or, hey, you
pack
just...
Your bags.
Pack your bag. You know, you just won $1 million. You don't get those calls at, you know, after midnight. You know, you get those when the office is open, you know, after 8.
Office hours.
Yeah. But, so that's why, in so many ways, I try to keep it on the humble side. Because I don't want to be any greater thought of who I am than I should. And I'm trying to learn, though, to not think as bad of myself as I have in the past. Because I have a lot of areas to get better at.
I think we all do,
yeah.
Craig. But what is true about you is that you do live a humble life and your heart is in the right place. And again, it's hard for you to see, or to use my lens, or to use the lens of the person that nominated you for this. It's hard for you to see that because you're so used to just doing things. But I'm excited that someone else, you know, saw you at a lens where it's above and beyond your wildest imagination. But that's how I see you. I'm excited for this opportunity for you so that you can see the bigger part of it. The movie Restored Me, again, if you haven't seen it, you need to, was just like the tip of the iceberg, like you had reached a certain level of where you're going. And all the things that happened within the movie, either for the actors or just other people be inspired by the workshops that you had when you were out and about, I mean, those things are like you were able to drop seeds in other people's lives all over the country. Not too many people are able to do that during their season and their journey of life. So probably just like Frederick Douglass, he was just living life. He was just doing one day
yeah.
at a time.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
probably was not really paying attention
yeah.
to the story, the backstory as a young man, how he escaped from slavery.
Sure.
He probably was not thinking that that was going to mean anything to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And same thing with Sojourner Truth.
Sure.
He just knew that he needed to go and help people
yeah.
leave the South and get to Canada. That's all she knew. And so she probably didn't stop and think that what she was doing was going to merit any type of future accolations
right.
or nominations and stuff like that. She's just doing life one day at a time, just like you are.
Yeah.
So at some point someone says, well, hey, you know, you freed how many slaves?
yeah.
Fred,
yeah, yeah.
this amazing
yeah.
orator. What's your back? What's your history? You know, and so they start to share it.
Sure.
And then someone's nice enough to document it and
sure.
put it down on paper so that you get, hey, this is Sojourner Truth and this is her story.
Yeah.
And this is Frederick Douglass and this is his story.
Sure.
So you have a story as well. And though you're probably still in the early days like Fred was when he took the last hit from his master and he said, I'm not dealing with this no more,
yeah.
and he made a difference. He did not know 20, 30 years down the road that he would be this, you know, this amazing orator that
yeah.
spoke out against civil rights and other things, women's suffrage, et cetera.
Sure.
From slavery, enslavery, to standing and making all kinds of presentations and, you know, just talking about it and getting people aware of what the truth was happening, those are two different spans of seasons of life. And
sure.
that journey that comes together at some point at the very end, someone's nice enough to write.
Yeah.
This is Fred Dragula's his story.
Yeah.
This is his story.
Sure.
So you play the same thing. And so along the way, he learned things about himself, so just a Sojourner Truth. What are some of the things that you learned about yourself?
Oh, man. I've learned that I have a natural tendency to think the worst all the time as the first go-to. You know, and I don't like that about myself, so I'm working on it. And my 12-year-old, Evan, he's got that down where we'll be talking about going somewhere or something will happen, and he'll go immediately to the worst-case scenario. What if the world blows up, Dad? I'm like, dude, really? The world? The car, the world? I mean, the house? I mean, really, right now? That's what we're talking about? I'm working on getting that out of my speak, because if the Lord is going to bring you to something and make you a part of a whole bunch of other things, the whole negative is not even in his equation. He's not trying to say, okay, I'm going to bring you to a point in your life where you can make a difference in somebody's life, and then I'm going to hit you with this boulder right now. He still may hit you with the boulder, because he knows that's a part of it, but he knows that that's going to make you stronger even with getting hit with the boulder. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like, okay, here you go, bam, here comes the boulder. And it's not what God has planned for us. It's a part of the plan, but it's not the goal, I should say, for him to laugh at us when we get smashed by the boulder.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like Wile E. Coyote, but...
Well, yeah.
No, Craig.
Oh,
no?
Okay.
You're supposed to be the roadrunner.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Yeah. The roadrunner.
Yeah, what you said.
Right.
Well, we should probably take another break. I know parking lights, so we take breaks.
Take a break.
So we're going to take a break. So we're going to be right back again to the Craig Carlisle Show. And again, if you want to call in and join the conversation, we're here at 1-646-668-8485. And we're coming up on our last 20 minutes of the Craig Carlisle Show for today. And we're talking about history in the making. I've got a great friend of mine who's in the studio who actually turned the microphone around on me and has interviewed me and has got the question sheet in front of her. But we'll be right back in just a few moments.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. 104.5 WPJC.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding area. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why aren't you listening all the time?
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show. And I've made it so far, Joe, throughout the show. I haven't given the wrong call sign on the show. And I always have that as a bad habit. I'll call one show the wrong thing, other show the wrong thing when I'm on. And, you know, it's like, good night, Detroit. And we're in the middle of Baghdad somewhere. So we're going to make it work this week. So, but I still got 15 minutes to make that keep it right, right?
Okay, keep it right.
Okay, so I'm doing well.
Right, okay.
So it's back to you and the okay. questions and everything, and I'm going to sit here and answer. So what's the next question?
Okay. You know, you talked about growing up and how your parents raised you and stuff. So now with all this information and what's coming up as far as the gala's concerned, and that's happening in another couple weeks actually.
Yeah.
If you could go back and tell your younger self just one thing, what would that be?
Don't be afraid.
And why is that great?
Because I've partnered with fear probably all of my life up until almost even up to today, that the fear wants to come and hit me and grip me and make me feel like I can't do something, or that whatever God had for me isn't really real. When I was youngest, this is how fear gets you. I used to have really vivid and bad nightmares. I mean, like, I would wake up and my dream would still be playing out with my eyes open. Bugs, alligators, monsters in my room. I know my eyes were open watching this stuff go on in my room. At some point between the ages of 5 and 7, my brother thought he was going to take matters into his own hands to keep me from roaming the floors at night and to get into either his, you know, room and bed, and, or my sister's room and bed, or my parents' bed, because I was afraid after a nightmare that he thought he would stand at the foot of my bed and scare me into staying in the bed. Because I slept on the bottom bunk of a bunk bed, and all I could see was this shadow of a man standing behind it. He wouldn't answer me when I called. And I just remember putting the covers back over my head, and I just cried my way through that. Well, later in life, when I mean later, I'm talking like 30 years plus later, I find out it was him.
Wow.
So I'd lived with that fear of what that image was. He had no clue that to this, I could still remember that day, and I could still feel all of the terror I had inside when I was between 5 and 7 experiencing it, all the way through now, and I'm 49.
Wow.
And so when I found out that a person who was supposed to have been a protector, a leader, a mentor in my life said that it was okay for me to be afraid, because
wow,
he was the cause of that, amongst some of that fear, it made my body go, oh, okay, then I guess the fear is a good thing.
Oh, wow.
But then to have to go back and retrain myself to understand that fear is not a good thing. That's something that I would definitely go back and tell my younger self that, hey, those nightmares were just nightmares, and fear is not your friend.
So that's one of the cultural history things that we're talking about. I mean, so even in the lives of your kids, that you're with them all the time, and I'm sure they've had their ups and downs, is that something that you're passing on to your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Live out their lives. So give some examples of what you've done to, now that you have this understanding of who fear is and he's not your friend, what are you doing to instill this into the lives of your children?
Well, even before their mom died, we had friends of ours whose lives were experiencing trouble, and death and pain seemed to be getting closer and closer to our door. And I used to always tell, you know, Shane, because he was playing, you know, high school sports at the time, and reminded him and all of his younger brothers were playing community sports at the time, and said, look, we need to play this game or this match, whether it be volleyball or whatever we were playing, as if it were the last time we're ever going to do this. The last practice, the last jump shot, the last steal, the last, you know, volleyball hit, the last time you'll do math, the last time you go to church, the last time you see each other. You have to make it as if it's the last time. So if you do anything as if it were the last time you ever do it, you should go all out at it, because you don't know what's going to happen to you. And so when it got close to our house and their mom went down and contracted the disease, nobody thought she was going to not come home from the hospital, until I know I felt the Lord had given me as what was going to happen. So, and I had never shared any of that with them. And then when she passed away, to this moment, I still keep bringing the kids back to that. I said, your mom thought she had tomorrow. We all thought she had tomorrow. But did you guys know, you live through the fact that we don't always have tomorrow. So you've got to play, live, breathe, eat, sleep, think as if it were the last time you're ever going to do it.
Mm.
Case in point now, so Ryan's actually taken that and run with it. He made the Grade O JV volleyball team.
Right.
He's probably one of the shortest players on the team. But his heart's bigger than anybody. That kid has been airlifted to the hospital. I've had to do CPR on him because he passed out not breathing due to complications with his asthma at my house. He's been probably in Rainy Children's Hospital at least 4 or 5 times before he was 10 years old. But to now be at the point where he couldn't even run in PE medically, and now he's doing sub-10-minute miles, or right about 10-minute miles, that's incredible. That's a blessing. And for him, I think he's really getting a hold of this thing that fear's not his friend, and tomorrow's not guaranteed, and I need to live. If I can get each one of them to know that now, at the ages that they all are, phew, yeah,
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because I know a lot of us, and I'm talking to myself as well, that fear radiates through that. And fear and faith, they're not even on the same plane. But a lot of people, you know, say, I'm so afraid to do it, and but I'm going to walk by faith. And are you walking by faith or are you walking with fear?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the,
yeah.
Maybe those are the two dichotomies you need to really, you know, search out. You can have, you can be a little anxious and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But are you walking with fear? I think that that's one of the things that a lot of us don't think about. And I know sometimes that's what I feel like, you know. But I know whose I am. And he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm taking him to his word. And so I can live through the things that I've seen, you know, you've done. Like I talk about Restored Me. It's like, wow, I remember thinking I was so excited for you, but then I was so excited that I got to be a part of the excitement that I saw. So it was like this, you know, like, wow, you know, I couldn't really shake it. But
yeah,
that's something that I think can be passed on and experienced from learning from others and their experiences.
Well, so that's the reason why we did the film.
Okay.
Well, not say we. That's the reason why I invested in the film.
Okay.
Is because I needed my kids to know that one thing, that you can do anything. No matter what happens to you in life, lose a limb, lose a parent, heartbroken, or have all of the success you want, but you can do anything. No matter what, death's not going to define you. Poverty's not going to define who you are. You can do anything. And during that time, Barack Obama was president. So it was something that I could show my kids, being African-American children, that you can do anything, from being an athlete or a scholar or film producer to being the president. There was, it allowed them to see almost every known occupation as fair game and available and open for them to achieve. And so that I needed them to feel and be a part of something, like be on set, see their name going down the scrolling credits, because that's not something that anyone can ever take from them.
Right. That's, yeah, that's really, really good. So I'm wondering how we'll be able to get to the gala, but when someone introduces you at this awards banquet, what do you want to be said about you?
That's a good question. It's funny because having had that come up now, it's actually being formulated now. I need the people to speak about me in my faith, that I believed in God, in the power of God, the knowledge and wisdom and will of God, and that not just having faith as a, because I used to be on this kick where faith was an action word, because we hear those tingling words and you hear from people that faith is an action word, but it's not. You look it up. Faith is not a verb. It's a noun. It is a person. Technically, it's a place, and it's a thing. So, yeah, it's supposed to say, faith in the personage of God, yes. Being a personage or place, yes. Okay, it's a thing, okay? The verb comes when we put the action to it, when we take those steps of faith.
You take the noun to the verb.
Exactly. So you have to put, or you put the verb to the noun. You have to make that noun move. And for the noun to move, I've got to do my part. And if I'm going to do my part, then faith is always going to be that personage of God. It's always going to be in that place where I need it to be, whether it be a place to live or a place to go. It's always going to be in that thing that I need it to be in.
So at some point, you become the noun, God becomes the verb. And so from the noun of faith in Craig to the verb of faith in God, then that's when God works his miracles.
And if we can believe that wholeheartedly, without a doubt attorney, or so without a faith of attorney, do all those fancy words that we used to hear about in the old day. But once we believe that, then God moves. Because that verbiage like also in your mind says, yes, I believe, God, I agree with you, do it. And he's okay, now I can do it now. Now he can work. And we sit around going, oh, Lord, I really want this. But you really don't want it. Because you don't believe he's going to give it to you. You got to believe that you've done something, or don't believe he, in my case, I don't believe he loved me enough. I don't believe I did anything worthy of him to have done that for me. That's where I used to be. That's where I used to hang my hat on that fear part. But now I say, God, this is what I need. This is what I want. You know what I want. You don't need this to happen. You do it. And I look for my point to move because I don't know where do you want me to go.
So this History Making Opportunity for Father of the Year Award, do you think that that's part of God's plan?
It's got to be. Otherwise, it would never have come. And I need it. I think it's in this case, it's more for the kids to see that, yeah, we've lost their mother, lost my job, lost our house, lost a lot of things, lost friends, lost family, lost relationships, lost a lot of things, lost, gave a lot to a lot of people, got a very little back, didn't seem we got back what we gave away. Even the love and time we spent didn't seem to get that back. Got a lot of disrespect, got a lot of emptiness back, got a lot of quietness back from a lot of people. But from the ones that we're getting the love from, we can definitely tell who our friends are, who are standing with us, that are close. Now, I've always had a person tell me, oh, you don't know really who's following, who's cheering from you from behind, from in the shadows. But people need to understand, when you've been through tragedy, when you're going through tragedy, you're trying to put your life back together after it's been shattered into a bazillion pieces, you're trying to find all the parts that go from A to 8 million and infinity because you don't know how to put it all together and you find those missing parts. You can really use some help from out of the shadow.
That's true. That is true.
You don't need to stand there and watch me.
Right. Don't sit there and watch me grovel and just be livid in pain and anguish.
Yeah.
Don't watch me.
Don't watch me.
And don't tell me, yeah,
no.
I saw you doing it, but I figured I'd give you some time. I don't need that.
I don't need that.
I don't need that.
Because I'm living that on my own.
Right. I'm living that on my own.
I don't got people telling me all the time, oh, if I'm looking at you, I never know that you were going through all that. I'm like, I don't really care if you think I'm not going through all that, but I can tell you that I am going through all of that every single day.
And then some.
But I can't look like I'm down and out.
What's that teacher that you got?
I don't look like what I went through. Because that's the real. Because if we look like what we've been through, that makes God to be a liar. That means I don't have faith in believing that God's plan is right in its entirety. Not just the happy parts of God's plan. It's the bad parts. When he takes something from you, when he commands something from you, when the time is up for you or someone else, when you've got to have a disease, when you've got to have an illness, when I was having those back pains.
Yes.
I mean, I can't stop giving praise to God because I got the pain. I'm thankful to be feeling the pain. I could have been paralyzed.
Yeah.
And then what are my kids going to do? Right? But still, I've got to make sure that no matter what happens to me, and I tell them all the time, God's going to take care of you independent of me. You can't worry about where I'm going and am I going to come back and, Dad, where are you going? How long are you going to be? No. Put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in me. I'll let you down every single time. But God never will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope you all are enjoying the day. Joe, I appreciate you. You've been an outstanding host.
Mm-hmm.
We're just sitting here laughing, joking, talking about this crazy stuff here. And it's what's funny. I don't have many interviews. This is probably like my only second time ever being interviewed. And you did both of them. You did, I forgot. On Salt and Light Arts podcast, Joanne Horn, she's the host of that brilliant podcast. So if you're ever looking for her, she's on Podbean, and it's the Salt and Light Arts .com. It's got a great website talking about all things art, all things worship, all things artsy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
And if you don't believe that you're an artsy person, sit down and try to write your name twice. And depending on how it looks, you're definitely an artist. I know I can't write up to twice. They said you look like more like a doctor's handwriting trying to write a strange little prescription for some people. But anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed this time together here. These Saturdays are fun. They're a lot of work. I need everybody to understand that it may sound like we got this thing on lock. We may sound like we have life all together, but we don't. Everybody struggles with something. You know, give some help to some people. I don't care if it's to me and my family or somebody you see on the street. Don't just sit back and think that someone's doing well and got it on lock just because you see them doing something. Yes, even if they're bloggers or YouTubers or just a guy standing on the street with or without a sign, there's hurt and pain out there. To bring some joy and love. See you all next week.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.